Hi, I'm Libby.
And I'm Riley, and welcome to On the Come Up.
Hi, besties. Welcome back.
Hi, besties. We have a really great episode in store for you today. We just adore our guest, but we did want to give you a little bit of a warning ahead of time while you're listening that today we're going to be dealing with some sensitive topics. And so just please, as we are talking about things like addiction and recovery and sobriety, we really want you to make sure that you are taking the time to take care of yourselves. And so if any of the things that we are talking about are going to be triggering for you today, please just take a step away, do what you need to do, but know that we are here for you. And our guest today has some incredible insight, and we're so excited to hear from him. Welcome, Noah Fox.
Hi. Oh my goodness.
Thanks for being here.
Of course. Thank you.
We're so excited to hear from you.
I have to tell you, just like on an unserious note, apart from all of the incredible insight that you have that we're going to talk about today, you have an incredible podcasting voice.
Thank you.
And actually, I just want you to know that. Like, you have a beautiful voice.
Well, that's awesome. I was telling Libby on the way in, I've never been on a podcast before. And so
I know I'm so honored that this is your first experience.
Baby's first podcast. Yes. This is so great.
It really makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're like heading up all these incredible young professional pursuits in our area. So it makes so much sense that the first podcast you're on is about young professionals.
And with you too.
Yes. And we love it. And we love working with you. So talk to us a little bit. Give us your background, you know, just kind of where you grew up, how you grew up, a little bit of that pre-college magic.
Absolutely. So I am a Toledo native. I was born and raised in Holland, Ohio, and I went to Springfield High School. I love Springfield High School. I think it was a great place to go to school. And from there, I transitioned directly to the University of Toledo. And my plan there, it was shaky at first. I didn't really know what I wanted to go into, but I decided on social work.
Okay. Yeah. What kind of led you into that decision?
I had, you know, a couple of real world experiences early on. I lost a couple of friends, and I had some family members battling with addiction and mental health. So helping people and being of service in a social aspect, I really was drawn to that. As well as when I was little, I was watching Intervention a lot. And so I just saw myself in that room being the mediator and navigating those difficult conversations. So this was 2017. I was in school for about 2 years. And right before COVID, I dropped out. And so this was a decision that I made that I really beat myself up about for quite a while. But it transitions into the rest of the story. So,
yeah, absolutely. And I mean, tell us a little bit about your experience in dropping out and kind of what led you to that.
Yeah. So my time at UT was actually awesome. I was involved in a lot of extracurriculars. I was a Greek life person. I volunteered with the dance marathon that they do there, and I really just loved the classes. I think there was a part of me that wanted to heal something inside of me by going into social work. So I would be in classes and they'd kind of be talking about, you know, subject matter. And I'm like, is that me? It was a great experience.
And we've talked a little bit about kind of your work post college. And I mean, you are a non-traditional student, so we are going to kind of keep it in the chronology of your life and how that worked out for you timeline wise. But after you dropped out, you have been relatively open with people in our young professional community, sharing your own experience going through addiction and recovery. And so obviously this is totally your comfortability. Speak as much or as little as you'd like about it. But I do want to ask about some of the ways that you feel that it impacted your life. And I mean, giving our listeners a little bit of insight into that reality that you were dealing with on a day-to-day.
Thank you for the question. I think I started, you know, that rebellious sense in high school, and it just kind of led and it escalated. And I will say there were some decisions that I made in college that changed the trajectory of everything.
Yeah,
I had a hard time. I was so disconnected from reality, if that makes sense. And so the decision to drop out came because I just was no longer interested. I was just so down and things like that. So, and I just couldn't see myself finishing. And then there was probably a year after I dropped out that was really, really hard. I was still in the area. You know, I was serving. Mm-hmm. You know, it was in the bartending scene. And if you know anything about that, you know, that people are making their money mm-hmm. and they're going out and spending it. And it's just a cycle that repeats. And so I felt myself getting, you know, a little bit unhealthy and unhealthier.
Yeah.
And so I had the absolute incredible opportunity to go to California. Actually, it was like 3 a.m. one time, and I had a really terrible night, and I called for help. And I said, listen, this is what's going on. This is kind of what my life is looking like. And I, you know, they said, give me a second. We're going to call you back. They called me back. They said, do you want to go to the mountains in Pennsylvania, or do you want to go to the beach in California? And, you know, here I am on the phone at 3 a.m. I'm thinking, like, maybe Michigan, maybe like, I remember seeing the trucks on Reynolds Road that said, be happy, be drug free, you know, like maybe I'll go somewhere in town. But I was incredibly lucky and fortunate to have that opportunity. So I spent a year actually in California. For part of it, I was in Palm Desert, and I just really focused on the stabilization. And then when I transitioned to Huntington Beach, I was able to get a job. I worked at CVS. I had classes, you know, 5 days a week and then 3 days a week. So that experience really, really, really showed me that, like, I could do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My plan was never to, and I think this is taboo a little bit, my plan was never to come back to Toledo. I wanted to restart in California.
Right.
But eventually one thing leads to another, and my family's here and things like that. So I came back, I got a job at Amazon, and I was intimidated by Amazon. I thought it was going to be like a factory kind of thing, and I ended up really liking it just to use my hands and use my body. And then after about 10 months of that, I started getting connected with people in similar situations, people in recovery in Toledo. And so I met this guy. He was like, hey, if this is what you want to do, there's a job opening at a detox center, and they're looking for somebody, a behavioral health technician. And I was just like, you know what? Let me see. And I applied, and I actually spent 4 years working for Midwest, and I learned so much. And so part of that was just, it was incredible to give back the same patience and compassion to other people.
Yeah.
And then just to get a front row seat to what that looks like in our community.
Definitely.
Right.
And I mean, we have a lot of questions, obviously, about your work at Midwest. You spent a considerable period, you're a young professional, so 4 years is still a considerable period of your life there. But we do want to ask a couple of follow-ups about, you know, some of the challenges or the wins that you were on each flip side facing while you were kind of in your early days of recovery, and just any sort of insight that you might have for other people who are going through that, and tips for them when they're kind of struggling and trying to get back reintegrated.
Yes, absolutely. I think one of the biggest things that I could tell somebody early on is that you don't need a certain amount of time, or you don't need a certain number of accomplishments to help the next person. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times people say, I need at least, you know, X amount of time sober to be able to give back to the next person. And quite honestly, just being in a room with somebody who knows kind of what it's like helps. I can tell you that helping another person also helps you. So early on, it was kind of learning, you know, when to open my mouth and feel comfortable sharing. And I would just tell that person, you know, it's okay to share. Like, even if it is a unique experience, it's nice to get that off your chest.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely. You kind of said that there were some things that happened that changed the trajectory. Now, we don't need to go into all of that. But what I do want to ask is, you know, you went into school with an original idea of what your future would look like. And then when you started in your recovery process, you came back and you started working at Amazon. And I'm curious, one, was there any connection between the routine and the stability of that job that kind of aided in your recovery process? But then also, how did that experience kind of change what you then viewed as your future?
Absolutely. So Amazon was insane. It was intense. It was fun, but it was 4 days a week, and it was during peak season.
Yeah.
So there were long hours. I think I was starting out, it was like 10 and a half hour shifts. And then through Christmas, it was maybe 11 and a half hours. But I remember my feet would hurt, you know, and I would just be coming up the driveway after work, and I gave it my all, I feel. And I would go to bed, and I would wake up, and that routine was great. Mm-hmm. Like, being able to get on the line, I guess, at 7:30 in the morning every single day taught me a lot about I need to prioritize my sleep. I need to go to bed and make sure that I take care of myself. But at that time, to be honest with you, I had no idea what I would get into professionally or, you know, that was just a, they call it a get well job. You know, I needed some money and I needed stability and that's what it gave me.
Did you feel like there was something liberating about that or something that was like scary about that? Kind of where was your head at in not really knowing what came next?
I think it was liberating. And I mean, for that entire year prior to working there, I was just in California and I was taking things one day at a time, literally. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of was in the groove of working from CVS, but it felt good to be able to drive to work. And
I would imagine too that working like that physical kind of labor is nice to connect with your body in that way too during that time.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And what I forgot to mention about Springfield High School, I was a cross country runner.
Ooh.
So it channeled that part of my brain that was like, we're going to get through this, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
So then jumping kind of into your work with Midwest, walk us through what your kind of roles looked like there and what you were doing day to day.
Absolutely. So I started out as a behavioral health technician at Detox. And so for a little bit, it was an overnight shift, 7 P to 7 A, and then it transferred to a second shift position. I was there for about a year and a half. And so I was seeing people come fresh, literally off of the street, you know, and we would help them through their first 7 to 10 day detox.
Wow.
We had full staff, 24/7 nursing. A lot of it was medically assisted, and we would make sure that they were comfortable and they had everything that they needed. The other thing was that we were introducing them to the world of recovery very early on. So I would lead groups, I would lead walks outside. We would just kind of get them talking about why they were here and what their next couple of months was going to look like. Then I transferred to outpatient and I was serving as a case manager. And all, I would say all, or 95% of my clients had some sort of legal involvement, or they were criminally, or they were impacted by the criminal justice system. So I was working a lot with probation officers and sometimes attending court with them and making sure that they had a letter that detailed the compliance of their program. And that was very awesome because you got to see somebody really, really try to do the right thing and then be able to say, hey, they actually really are doing the right thing. And here's proof, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, people really underestimate the power of advocacy, especially because, one, we've talked about this a lot in many different ways, but the paperwork of it all, paperwork, and then also the intimidation of walking into that court and into that system is so difficult for people to manage a lot of the time. And that can even be a deterrent. So the fact that you are able to be an advocate for those people is amazing.
Thank you.
And so talk then a little bit about what kept you with Midwest. You were there for a long time. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I honestly really, really loved it. I love the work that I do, and the coworkers were amazing. Working client-centered was, it kept me engaged and it kept me coming back. I would be driving to work and just be excited to see the people. But professionally, I wanted to grow. And I came to this point in my time there where I was like, hey, so if I were to go back to school, would I go into social work again? Like, would I finish my social work degree? Would I want to go into business? You know, and the state of Ohio, they have what's called a licensed chemical dependency counselor. You can start as an assistant. You can move your way up to number two and number three. And it just, but you're only focused on chemical dependency. So I wrestled with that for a long time. I knew I wanted to grow and I knew I wanted to make an impact on a larger scale than face to face. So I did a degree audit at the University of Toledo. I needed 5 credits. So I took 2 classes online over a spring semester and I got my associate's general studies. I walked, this was May 24. And then I was researching online and I found an associate's to bachelor's program online at Tiffin University. And at this time I decided, I'm just gonna go business administration because at that time I did wanna make an impact. I just didn't want to be one-on-one anymore.
Yeah. talk a little bit about, you are very proud of the fact that you're a non-traditional student, because I think a lot of people think that you kind of have to immediately start your degree and then finish it and go into a career to really maximize your success. But you are a success story of a non-traditional student. And I think there are a lot of people who might be nervous to pursue that path. So can you kind of address these students and speak to how being a non-traditional student shaped you? And were there any difficulties? Like, was it harder to get back into it? Was the academic mindset kind of coming back to you quickly? Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's super interesting because at first I didn't really realize how much older I would feel around college students or on a college campus. And it really wasn't that noticeable, but I will say the life experience that I was able to gain before coming back to the classroom, it just changed the way that I saw assignments and understood deadlines. And I really respected the process of learning something and being able to apply it. And I felt like on some certain points in the discussion boards and things, it's less about what can I gain from this and more what can I give to this discussion board. And so that was always a fun thing every week to just be like, how can I kind of judge this up a little bit?
I love that.
Yeah.
Nothing better than a good discussion board. I love that.
So then after leaving Midwest, you took a job with the Toledo Municipal Court. Can you talk a little bit about what your work looked like there?
Yeah. So like I mentioned at Midwest, a lot of my clients were justice impacted. So that involved, I was assisting with Lucas County Adult Treatment Court and Sylvania Drug Court. And I had no idea just how different the world of law was, and it is so intriguing. So I was scrolling and I saw this job posting, court services specialist, Toledo Municipal Court, and I'm looking at the duties, you know, as a case manager. I'm like, I could do that, you know, and I love the courtroom. I love being downtown. And so I applied, I went through the interviews, and then it was just, it felt like the right career move for me. There, I manage one of the judge's calendars. I see all of the cases that he has. I kind of schedule what he wants. And the other part of my job is I do inventory management for the ankle monitors.
Oh, interesting. Oh, okay. Yes. Wow.
That is really cool. So whenever somebody gets put on an ankle monitor or they're taken off of an ankle monitor, whenever it's ordered in the courtroom, I'm notified and we kind of track how those are placed. And
That's very interesting. Yeah. And you know, you have really laid it out in a way that makes a lot of sense of a natural transition from Midwest to the Toledo Municipal Court. But I think to a lot of people, just looking at your resume, they might think, oh, okay, this is kind of an interesting jump. So can you talk a little bit about like the transferable skills or things from Midwest that kind of helped prepare you for this role? I mean, obviously your case management and advocacy and stuff like that.
The unique thing about my position at the court is that I am assisting the public in some capacity. So when they come in and they are needing another court date, or maybe they're just walking in trying to take care of something, I get to talk to them. And, you know, it's not legal advice, but it is legal information. I can kind of be giving them the rundown of the procedures and what to expect or point them in the right direction. And I think working with the population that I did at Midwest, it really prepared me to work with the population at the court.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think that's awesome.
Yeah. So then kind of you started getting involved with, which actually how we met, through groups like Rotaract and Epic Toledo. Can you talk about what drew you into those groups?
Yes. So right around the time when I was looking into going back to school, I was like, I'm going to take my career seriously. You know, I'm coming up on a few years of sobriety at this point. Things are going good. And I'm like, what's out there? Because I missed the involvement I had on campus at UT with the Greek life and the dance marathon and all of that kind of stuff. So I happened upon Epic Toledo's website, which was very impressive, you know, and they were promoting this mentorship program. And so I applied, I became a member, I did it. It was great. And I think one thing led to another. I met you guys. And I just think like, there's so many people just doing the same thing. But I think it's really, really interesting because the Toledo way is like this collaboration over competition. I love how all of the young professional groups are kind of coming together and just saying like, we can make a bigger impact if we stick together. And
absolutely.
It's so much fun.
It really is. I know it's funny, like the three of us have collaborated on a young professionals thing before at the Imagination Station mm-hmm. with Livvy. And then now, Noah, we're collaborating on a young professionals big fair that we're going to do in the fall, yes. which is going to be so much fun. But I want to talk to, you know, I think a lot of people are, we talk about this sometimes with event planning and different things. Like it seems like people are a little bit apathetic to getting involved in groups like this right now, at least people in our generation. And I don't know if that's a COVID thing or if it's, you know, a lot of people are more looking at the, what can I get out of this, right? So talk a little bit about how your involvement in those communities really bolstered your confidence or your sense of purpose or what that even just basically gave you being a part of these young professional groups.
Yes, that's a great question. And so to go back to one of those things I said happened and it changed the trajectory of my college experience, I had the opportunity to serve as president of my fraternity for like a short semester. And I feel like I could have done a lot of things differently. And partner that with dropping out of school, I am able to now rewrite my history and I'm able to lead with integrity and compassion and all of these things. And so it's such a cool experience to be able to heal that part of myself. So I came in because I wanted to, like I said, take my career seriously, but I also wanted to develop the right way and be around people that were like-minded. I was fortunate enough to go through this Leadership Toledo Signature program this year and just learn so much about myself and others. And it really has just been a journey.
Yeah, I love that. That's beautiful.
Congratulations, because that is an incredible program. So thank you. Congratulations on going through that.
And so you're also just inducted as president of Rotaract. Do you want to share a little bit about your plans for the group and what you hope to accomplish?
Yes. So I will be, I guess, installed is what they call it, on July, on July 1st of this year. So I have been prepping for about a year. I served as president-elect, and they put us through Zoom calls every month with all of the incoming presidents of the district. There's a number of different clubs, and that training alone has really prepared me, I feel, to lead the club. One of the things I want to do is a grant-funded service project.
Ooh.
So we're working on the application process, you have to align it with a certain area of focus. There's 7 for Rotary. So we are just brainstorming up all kinds of different ideas. But I think if we can plan something and execute something this year that can be repeatable next year and so on, that's something that I want to see. And this is the first time that Rotaract will do a grant-funded service project. So the other thing is I want to start a mentoring program with Toledo Rotary. So that's something in the works as well.
Well, and it's just such a natural fit because obviously having the Rotary is kind of like your older mentors there and then Rotaract is, you know, the future Rotarians. It's really cool to see. And that's a wonderful idea. And thanks. I love that you're not only rewriting your history of presidency, but you're also making history with starting all these new cool things. So big shout out to you. We love to see it.
Well, thank you so much.
And then, you know, aside from the future of Rotaract and the future of your career with the Toledo Municipal Court, I'm also curious about what are you working toward? Like, what does the future of Noah Fox look like?
That is such a good question. That is really, honestly, such a good question. I can't work at a courthouse and not think, you know, a little bit about should I go to law school? You know,
right.
I am wrestling around the idea of like, what does my next move look like? And all of my experiences have had something to do with people. So if that's pursuing something like that in advocacy or it's working something in probation, I don't know, but I know that I'm on the right path. My supervisor actually was talking to me and she said, sometimes the best opportunities come when you're not looking for them. They just appear. And so I was like, okay, that's good. I'm able to kind of take a little bit of the pressure off because I don't need to be searching high and low for my next move. I can just kind of like be here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's how my job kind of came about too. I love when you just kind of let the universe do its thing And it's so cool that you are in the place where you're doing that. That's awesome.
Thanks.
And I do want to ask you too, you know, we have a couple of questions about advice and things that you'd like to impart on young professionals, but I am curious from just your perspective, do you feel that sobriety unlocked anything for you that might not have been possible or on your trajectory otherwise?
Absolutely. That is a really good question. I spent so much time in a bar. You know, I spent so much time doing things that were not sober. And that alone, having that free time, changed everything. But I will say, once I was able to confront that part of my mind that wasn't able to shut it off and say, you know what, I'm going to do things my way, that changed how I looked at other things. So when I look at goal setting, or I look at what seems like an impossible challenge, I know that I was able to kind of conquer something inside of myself. So I'm able to now go externally and say, I'm going to do this too. Saved a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, even we talked about this when we were planning the YP fair. It's a lot of young professional networking events or different professional development things are kind of centered around alcohol. And so I think, one, it's really interesting to take that and then work with other like-minded individuals and say, how can we create a space that is inclusive toward everybody, mm-hmm. not just people who are wanting to participate in that. But then I think it's really amazing how you are gearing the group towards service and really just focusing on helping others and how that can fill your cup. And I think that's really beautiful.
I'm curious for anyone else, any other young professionals in the recovery journey, if you have any words of encouragement or advice to share with them.
Yeah, you are not disqualified from being in a professional space because you are in recovery. I think it adds so much to a room when somebody with that kind of life experience can come in and say, like, hey, here's what I've been through and here's what I'm doing now. Let's help each other out, you know. So many times I just think people, you know, stick to their circles, and I just cannot wait to see the day where everybody's just kind of in the same drive.
I love that. And then any advice for young professionals in general that you want to share?
Absolutely. I would say motivation is fleeting. The spark of I should do this, it's going to go away, but it is the discipline and the habits that you create that's going to get you to the finish line.
And you didn't think we'd leave without a Roman Empire.
No
so
way.
You guys, do you care if I'm selfish and start out
today?
No,
you should absolutely start.
No, please do.
Okay, listen. I was on TikTok scrolling, having a great time as one does. And I saw this resurfaced interview of Anne Hathaway when she was at the Human Rights Campaign's 2018 National Dinner. She was being honored with the National Ally for Equality Award. And again, 2018, so it's been several years. But she talked about how she was given this letter from a 10-year-old transgender girl who had chosen her name, Ella, after Anne Hathaway's movie, Ella Enchanted.
Great movie.
Yes, incredible, like, way to choose a name. Like, I love that. She gives this whole beautiful speech about allyship and about how you should obviously be, like, protecting your transgender community and all this stuff. But then she directly looks in the camera and she says to the little girl, Ella, like, she addresses her directly, and she says, because obviously this girl was like, oh, you're so courageous mm-hmm. for being an ally and standing up for our community and all this stuff. She looks in the camera and she says, it takes zero courage to love you. Mm. And I burst into tears. Like, that is just so beautiful. I mean, obviously, like, the way things are so divisive right now and have been for quite a while, like, the having somebody with such a massive public platform, not only standing up in an event like this and fully putting her allyship out for the world to see, yeah. but then directly just saying, this isn't about courage. You just love your humans. You love your people. And it takes zero courage to love you. That's really
beautiful.
That is so sweet.
And I'm crying in the club. Anyway. All right.
That's so touching.
You know, Noah, I want to hear from you. What is your Roman Empire today?
Well, thank you so very much. My Roman Empire today is book talk.
Okay, yes.
I'm obsessed with book talk. And I think they make it so easy to find something specifically for you or for a certain mood. I just recently got back into reading, and it is so fun.
Real.
I love it. Yeah, we're big book talk fans.
Okay, we're
going to
need to
here.
Talk off of air.
No, literally, like, we'll kiki about this later. But just for those of you who don't know, book talk, TikTok plus books, and it's all recommendations, all things popular with the TikTok book community. Super awesome. And I feel like they've had really good recommendations lately.
Oh, yeah.
They have.
You know?
And Barnes & Noble actually puts it up. Like, here are the books yes. on book talk. They have a whole shelf, and so you can kind of see what's going on.
It's such a great community.
I know.
It is.
Honestly, there's a lot of toxicity in TikTok, but book talk, I love it
That's
there.
That's where it's at.
All right, Libby, close us out.
So sometimes I'll be transparent with you guys. When I need to think of a new Roman Empire, I'm in my TikTok likes. And right now what is in there is yet another clip from Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link. I love them so much. They have been doing their show since 2012, so almost 15 years of them. And I love the way that they've grown and evolved as people, but also their brand and keeping it entertaining. But specifically, I cannot ever stop thinking about the, would you like some of this on your that when Link is taking the whipped cream canister and it explodes everywhere. That is always my Roman Empire.
I think that
and he just
gone...
did it again. Like it just happened again. That's what's in my likes. It's him with I think it's like Prosecco and it's just everywhere and it's like the same thing. And I'm
he
like, how
learn?
Did you do it twice? And what's so funny is that Rhett in the clip does not react.
Oh my
He's
God.
Like, I didn't even see it. And there's just like a massive explosion happening.
He said, I'm over it.
Yeah,
you
it's
can't
just
do
like
it twice.
Just another day with these guys.
Send
I love
it to
them.
Me.
I will.
No, literally, I feel like that audio has gone like triple platinum
I
in
know.
Our house.
Definitely.
It's just so funny.
Would you like some of this? Yeah, excellent. That's honestly a great Roman Empire. Thank you, Libby.
Thanks.
And Noah, thank you so much.
Yeah, seriously.
Not only do we love your Roman Empire, of course,
Thanks.
But all of your insight, not only on the young professional community, but just like really how you handle some of these intense and sensitive topics with just such love and grace. We are so grateful that you were willing to share on this show, and we hope that listeners can glean something from you and your experience.
Thank you, and thank you for having me. It was awesome.
We want to thank Noah Fox, our guest on today's show. We're your hosts and producers, Libby and Riley, and our executive producer is the incomparable Chris Piper.
If you have any questions, comments, or you just want to listen again, go to wgte.org/comeup or wherever you stream your podcast.
Bye, besties!
WGTE. Voices around us.